So this morning, I want you to bear with me, and I want you to look at some things, and I think that you'll be so excited. Exodus chapter 2, verse number 1. Notice what the Word of God says. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi." Now, the house of Levi is God's priesthood. That's God's priesthood. This morning, you and I, we are of the priests of God, because the Bible says, Peter said, Paul said, that we are the priests of the living God. Amen? You have been called. And so everything that you put your hand to is under the anointing of the great high priest, Jesus Christ. Amen? So I want you to see that. He says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi." And what did he do? He took a wife, a daughter of Levi. Now, hold that in your mind. Now, you can mark down in your mind, Numbers 26, I believe it is, maybe somewhere around verse 59 or something, it names who we're talking about. We're talking about Araman, and we're talking about Jochebed. Now, Jochebed, I love it. She's the mother here, and she becomes his wife, and she is a priestess of the Almighty God. But Jochebed means, her name means, "God is my glory. God is my glory." See, today there's a lot of people that they glory in their children, or they glory in their job, or they glory in their possession, or they glory in their prominence in the community. But her name simply means is, "My glory comes from the Father, and I'm going to bring glory back to Him." Amen? And so I want you to see her. This is the mindset of the home. And this is the mindset of the priesthood this morning. And this is the mindset that you and I should have. And so we're going to look. There's 11 things that she raised up her home to do that would bring forth the 12th. There's 11 things that she did in this second chapter that brought forth the number 12. The number 12 in Bible numbers always means governmental protection, perfection. God has a government, and He wants to rule and reign, amen? But He chooses to rule and reign through us. And so what I'm here this morning to do is to tell you by the Spirit of God, if you do like what Brother Larry said, take step by step. Jesus Christ will walk with us. God the Father, God the Holy Ghost will walk with us step by step. Amen? And so we may have missed a step, but by the unction of the Spirit of God, Brother Whitby didn't even know what he was doing. He was lining up this sermon. He was preparing the way. If we'll go back and meet the step of God, everything's going to come to pass. Amen? So stay with me. All right, verse number 2, Exodus 2 and 2. "And the woman conceived." Now mark that down. That's the first step after she become his wife. "The woman conceived." And number 2, she bare a son. Now, you and I this morning, we've got to recognize and realize that in the priesthood, you are destined for productivity. Jesus Christ said that you're going to be made clean, John 15:3, by the Word of God, and that you're going to bear not just a little bit of fruit, but you're going to bear much fruit, and your fruit, it's going to remain. It's going to abide. Amen? And so this morning, you and I, on Mother's Day 2019, called into the priesthood, we are to nurture even in the midst of nemesis. There's a nemesis out there, amen, that wants to steal and kill and destroy from the family of God, wants to destroy the offspring of God, wants to kill the plan of God. But you and I, we know that God cannot be stopped. He cannot be defeated. Jesus has done, risen, and ascended. We document that in Sunday school. So there's no question about what's going to happen, amen. The only question is, what is Greg going to do about it? What are you going to do about it this morning, amen? All right, notice what it says, that she chose to conceive, and then God blessed her with a son. This morning, I want you to be in the mindset that you tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to bring forth whatever you would have in the family of God, in the plan of God, in my role this morning in the body of the living Christ, in the church of the living God. What do you want me to bring forth?" Because if you'll take the Word of God in and let Him bring it forth, it will be productive. Amen? So here, Jochebed, she's willing to conceive, and then she bears a son. Now notice what happens. She has a vision. She has understanding. And that same verse number 2, "And she saw him. She saw this offspring. She saw this son of God. She saw Moses, that he was a goodly child. Oh, glory. See, you and I have the ability to look at the productivity that God wants to bring out of your life and out of my life, and to see it the way God sees it. So many times we look and we see what God's bringing out of our life, and we let the devil say, that's not no good. This is wrong with it. That's wrong with it. This is lacking. That's lacking. No, we got to say, God, I look through your eyes. Don't you see how God's lined all this together? I look through your eyes, God. I look through, I see it. I see what you see. And Moses is a goodly child. This is so important that this is repeated three times. This is three times in the Bible that tells us he is a goodly child by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen? And so we've got to see this morning that the things that God's bringing out of your life is good. He's a good God, and he didn't bring anything bad. He only brings good. Amen? Now notice what it says, the last part of verse number 2, that she hid him 3 months. Now this is so important for you and I to see and to understand. She wanted so bad to please God. She wanted so bad to do what God had called her to do. But she's in a dire circumstance. She is a slave in Egypt. She's a slave to a system that she didn't ask for. Sound familiar? You and I, we didn't ask for what's happening in this world. We didn't ask for these laws that they put against what's right. Come on. But we're in it. We're under it. We're involved in it. But we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom. Amen? And the kingdom is what is documenting and determining what you and I can do this morning. So here's the same way with her. Even though she's this slave, she's saying, I'm going to produce. See, Pharaoh had made a decree. He made a decree that every baby boy was to be killed. Come on now. The world wants to say that the church is dead, that we have no voice, that we can't bring forth the fruit of the living God, that we can't say this and we can't do that. Are we going to let them say what we can do? No. We're going to do what God said we can do. Amen? And we're going to say, God, I'm going to be true. I'm going to be faithful to you. And I'm going to hide what you have produced in my life until the right season. And at the right season, I'm going to let the Holy Ghost bring it forth. I'm going to let the Spirit of God lead me and guide me. And it's going to be powerful. It's going to be productive. Amen? So here she is. She is hid this. Now let's stop right there and let's go back to chapter 1 and let's see what's happening so we can really understand the power of her faith, the power of being in the priesthood. Now go back to verse number 10 in Exodus chapter 1. Thank you so much, Sister Anna. I appreciate it so much. Exodus 1 and 10. Notice this is Pharaoh and this is what he's saying about God's people. He says in verse number 10, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also against our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Now notice what he said. This is Pharaoh. This is the type of the devil. Verse number 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built up for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. They have this Ramesses is known as the seat of Satan. And, you know, in the book of Revelation, the church of Ephesus had a seat. And it was Satan's synagogue, Satan's seat. He had a place there. Satan loves to go to church. And he loves to try to dominate and control the church. He can't control the church because you and I are of not a building, but of Jesus. Amen? And so the devil has a plan. He wants to load you and I down where we can't multiply. He wants to get you and I so busy about what we got to do in life that we miss what true life is. Amen? But you and I this morning, we're doing Matthew 6:33 that Brother Zachary was talking about and reading in our Sunday school lesson. We're seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. And if we seek Him first, Jesus said that everything that we have need of, He will place it in our hand. Amen? And that's the way it was with the children of Israel. They were having to do all of these tasks and have to do all of these works, But at the same time, they were multiplying so efficiently. Think about it. They went from 70 people to 400 years later or so to 2.5 to 3 million. That's the hand of God on them. Amen? The devil wants to tell us all the church age is dead. No, it's not. No, it's not. We're in the church age. Amen? And Jesus is coming back for a church that's without spot, without blemish. Amen? And you and I are going to be used by God to raise up a church. And when the last person that is meant to be saved and part of that, bam, guess what? The Lord's coming back. Amen? And He's going to take us and bring us, and where He is, there we may be also, John 14. And so it's going to all be fine. But in the meantime, we've got to be about our Father's business. Yes, I know that life can be hard, but let the Lord be your source of strength this morning. Amen? Let Him bless you. Now notice what it says. Here's your promise this morning, verse number 12. But the more that they afflicted Him, the more the devil afflicted the children of Israel, look what it says. The more they multiplied and the more they grew. Oh, glory, you're going through some hard times this morning. But guess what? Persecution. Look at the book of Acts. The church grew when it was under what? Great persecution. You're just ready in a prime place. The more the devil gets on your shoulder, the more he beats on your head, the greater it is for you to grow. Amen. Now, I want you to notice the word here, the Hebrew word here in verse number 12 where it says they multiplied and grew is paretz. Paretz means to break out. Come on, there's fixing to come an anointing upon the church of the living God to break out of every bondage, to break out of every limitation, to break into the new things of God this morning, because you and I are willing to train up those who don't know. We're willing to give what God's gave us. We're willing to be a part of the priesthood, and we're willing to conceive and to bring forth the will of God. Now, I want you to put your heart right there in Jochebed's mind. Now, think about it. Here she is. She sees all of this. She sees what's happening in the natural to her brothers and her sisters. She sees how hard it is. And yet she says, God, I want a husband. I want to be able to produce. Now, don't just look at this in the carnal. This morning, we got to be willing to say, Lord, I want You to be my husband. Because He is. And Lord, I want to be able to produce. I see all the sin out there. I see all the heart. See, the devil's convinced the church, you don't need to bring children. The devil even convinced me. I didn't want to bring kids into the world because I'd listen to the devil and say, oh, it's such a bad place. Is it? There's a bad place out there, but in here, there's a good place. Amen? And you and I have been called. We've been anointed to bring forth and to reproduce. Come on, right now we're in a critical stage in America. We're losing our influence. We're losing our authority because the Christian church is not reproducing because it's inconvenient. I don't want a bunch of kids in here. Come on, they track up the carpet. They skin the walls. They make a mess. They don't listen. Whose church is it? It's God's church. I'll make a confession to you. Because I want to be healed and I don't ever want to go back to the way I used to think. I was saved, but I was so carnal. So carnal. The kids were little. Actually, Tori hadn't been born yet. It was just Kayla. And Dawn and I got my eye on this little green car. You went out there with us. Y'all went out there with us, looked at it. I wanted this car so bad. I was going to have this car one way or the other. I was going to have this car. And so, not didn't pray about it, didn't care what God said. I wanted this car. So we went and we bought this car. It was a nightmare. The battery was bad. The back glass leaked. This is a brand new car. But anyway, none of that matters. But I love this car. I said all that to say this to go along with the sermon this morning. the Spirit of God wanted me to stop and pick up this little boy and take him to church. And I wouldn't do it because I didn't want him to mess up my new car. I never did pick him up. I see, he's a grown man now, and I see him. And every time I see him, the Lord convicts me, and he says, do you think he would be drinking that beer now? You'd have took him to church. Now, God doesn't bring condemnation, but God brings conviction, conviction that will cause us to change. Now, I want you to see, here's Jochebed, and here's Amron. They're in a place where they see all this oppression. But God says, I want you to conceive and to bear. Now, everything depended upon them doing this because Moses, the deliverer, was going to be their third child. See, we give up too quick. We produce certain things, and when it don't mount to what we think it should be, we think, well, God's done. No. God is seeing if you'll be faithful, if I'll be faithful. And if we'll be faithful in that, then He'll bring forth His ultimate plan. Amen? We can't abort the plan of God. Now, here she is. Let's go back to our scriptures in chapter number 1. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Mark that down. You grieve the devil. Pharaoh, the Egyptians, is a type of bondage, a type of the devil. And you, when you listen to God and you multiply in your life, you start growing in your life, you grieve the devil. You think the devil is grieving you. You think the devil is limiting you. You think the devil has you on a leash. No! You have the victory this morning, and the devil can only go as far as the leash of the Word of God you placed on him. Amen? You grieve the devil. Glory be to God. Now notice what it says, verse number 13. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Now it repeats this there in verse number 14, that they made them serve with rigor. This rigor is so strong. This word rigor in the Hebrew, it means to fracture. Now think about this for a second. The natural, we think, oh my gosh. This servitude is so bad that it is fracturing, it is breaking the children of Israel. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It breaks everything of the natural off. It caused them to call on the name of the Lord. It caused them to depend upon God and get out of the natural and to get into the spiritual. Amen? The thing that the devil is doing in your life and my life this morning is just breaking away all of those things that we used to trust in and causing us to trust in a risen Savior. Amen? A God that's above all. Now notice what it says. This is how good your God is and my God is. Verse number 15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives. Now mark that down because there's going to be some commentaries. There's going to be some people who will try to tell you these midwives were Egyptians. What did the Bible say? Hebrew. God's going to put somebody in your life who you need that's of like faith. Okay? Glory. The first time I ever heard that was in 1994. I went to work on this. In this one job, and this lady was there, and I was talking to her, and found out that she was a Christian, and she made this statement. I didn't know it because I was so green and so young. She said, God will always give you another Christian. And I didn't know what that meant, and I got to thinking about it, and it meant so much to me. And that's what he's doing here. He spake to the Hebrew midwives, which the name of them, notice this, was Shipra, meaning brightness, and the name of the other was Pua, meaning glitter. Glory. Everything that God's involved to has a brightness to it, has the light to it. It glitters, amen? And I want you to know that the thing that God wants to put in your life to help you, you'll be able to see it. You'll know it's from Him, you know it's from Him, and you know it'll work. Notice what Pharaoh said, though. He had a plan, but it wasn't greater than your God or my God. And he said, when you do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then thou shalt kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Now, this is the decree that it went forth. Now, so you see here
Omrod and Jochebed, here they are. They're in a place and a position where if they have another child, they've done had two, but if they have another child, this decree has went forth that he must be killed. Who are we going to trust? The Bible says that God opens the womb. So if God opens the womb and God gives you a child, God can keep it. Amen? No matter what the plan of the enemy is. Think about how the devil had, from Genesis 3:15 to Gospel of Luke, or the Gospel of Matthew, whichever Luke is better, but he had 4,000 years to plan to kill Jesus. If God be for us, hallelujah. Okay. Verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. That God is going to always have somebody in a place and a position that reverence him. Amen? That's what the word means. And so here they are. They're willing to put their faith on the line, and they're willing to produce what God wants to produce in them. Now, notice what it says. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and saved the men children alive? Verse 19. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are what? They are lively. Come on now. The word of God is quick and sharp. It is alive, and it's working in you and I. Amen. You're lively, you're powerful, you're strong. And it says, they are delivered ere the midwives come into them. They didn't give birth before the other people even knew they were going to. I'm telling you, there's some things that's come out of your life that the devil doesn't even know about yet. Glory! And it's powerful, and it's productive, and it's going to bring the will of God to pass. Amen? It says, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied, and they waxed very great. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared, reverenced God, that he made them houses. In other words, I want you to think about this. They had a part. The word house in the Hebrew, it always has to do with prodigy. It has to do with a future. So they got, I want you to see this. They got to be a part of every child that was born. The gift, the call, the blessing come on them as it come on the family. And so the Moses, the deliverer that was going to come out of Omron and Jochebed, that house was a part of them. They were delivered even though they were in Egypt. Glory. All right. So Pharaoh changed his plan. The devil always is working, trying to stop God. Verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So here it is. He said, okay, that didn't work, so I'm going to come up with something new. Ain't you glad that our God doesn't have to come up with something new? He had a plan from the beginning, the Bible says. And he's not a man that he should repent or change. He doesn't have to change. Glory. The devil's always a step behind trying to catch up. All right. Now that takes us back to these steps. I want you to see that you're not alone this morning. All of God's children have went through things. And when they made the right choice to conceive the Word of God, to receive it, to conceive it, and then to help it nurture, to help it to grow up, they were blessed. Amen. And the things you're doing today is like what Jochebed did then. You're doing some things today that's going to lead people out. Because she nurtured Moses, and Moses led people out. What you're doing today is going to lead people out. Amen. Because you're holding on to it. All right. Now let's get back to verse number 3 in Exodus chapter 2. Now notice, she's done conceive. She's done bear a son. She's done saw who he really was in the Lord. And in verse number 3 he says, when she could hide him no longer, that she took for him. Now this morning, this is critical. She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it. She daubed it with slime and with pitch, and she put the child therein.
Now, I want you to think about this. This is the most critical and important step of all of this. You and I, when we've got to make sure that our offspring, what we're producing, that we've covered it in Jesus. Because this is the same wording that, you remember the ark that Noah built? He pitched it. Okay? Kafar in the Hebrew, it's the same word of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. It's just like the ark in Noah's time couldn't sink. This little ark that Moses was in, it couldn't sink. The world couldn't get into where Moses was at. The world couldn't get into where Noah and his family was at. Come on, what's the ark of the last days? Jesus Christ! That's the, what you're pitching your life with. That's what you're putting over you. And so you take what God has birthed in you and you give it back to Him. And you make sure that it's covered in the blood of Jesus. And it doesn't matter what the devil says. God is going to use what the devil has decreed to get what God's blessed you with to where it needs to be, where it can produce what God said it would produce. Oh my, hallelujah. Okay, notice what it says. That she took him and she made the choice. She daubed it with slime and pitch and she put the child there in and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now, Moses, here he is. He's laying in this place of protection. But yet, the Pharaoh has done said that he had to die in this Nile. But you see, he can't be swallowed up in what's been pitched, what's been kafar, what's been covered by Jesus. Your dreams can't die. Your future, your offspring, your promises, they can't die. They've been covered up. Amen? Now notice, it says in verse number 4, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done unto him. So here is the training up a child in the way it should go. This is the nurturing in the midst of Nemesis. She is not only taking care of Moses, but she's taking care of Miriam. Miriam, her second child, the Exodus chapter 15, tells us that Miriam was a prophetess. And boy, she could play the timbrel. It said when she played the timbrel, that they danced before the Lord, it set out a freedom in all the whole congregation. Amen? But here I want you to see this. She's about a seven-year-old girl here, history tells us. And so she is watching her brother come down the Nile. The Nile is full of crocodiles. The Nile is full of all sorts of things, but yet God's hand is upon Moses. God's hand is upon what He has birthed out of you. Amen? So this training caused this child to be in the right place at the right time. Now notice, verse number 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Verse 6. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, Moses wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now, this is the power of God. Amen. Then said his sister, oh, glory, glory. See, here's the Jochebed's training, the nurturing upon Miriam. Miriam is in the right place, the God place on the God day. The God kind of time. Amen? And so what does she do? She speaks. She speaks. She speaks what's been put in her heart. I want you to see that around the dinner table, around the breakfast table, around the little cot at bedtime, over and over and over, she trained. She trained Aaron. She trained Miriam. She told them what to do and what to say. She painted the picture of God. She done knew what God was going to do because she had it in her heart. This morning, Sister Donna taught us what God would do and how our giants would fall. Amen? We've got to know it. We've got to believe it. We've got to rehearse the words before our eyes. And then when we get our heart full of it, we speak it out. Amen? It makes a creative force. And then she said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Now think about it. She done has put it in this, the Pharaoh's daughter put it in her heart, hey, I got some help for you. You know, this is the way Donna does me all the time. I mean, if you know how to speak to people, you can get them to do anything. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because I need help. Amen. Now, think about this. Verse number 8. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. Now, what's the training from Jochebed to Miriam? Verse number 8. And the maid went. What did she do? She called the child's mother. She went to Jochebed. Oh, glory. God knows what he's doing. Now, here, the Pharaoh had then said, all male babies, he's got to die. And yet, God says, let me show you what I can do. I can get your enemy, his daughter, to bring in your child. I can get you to be able to nurse it, to train it. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Now, that's what God wants us to see this morning. There is nothing out of the reach of the hand of our God. Amen? Verse number 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. Notice this. Now, you get ready to shout. And I will give thee thy wages. Not only does Jochebed get Moses back, not only does she get to nurse him, train him up, nurture him in the midst of her nemesis, but her enemy pays for it. Oh, glory be to God. This morning, I want you to know that Jesus went, Colossians chapter 2, into the enemy's camp, and he took all the spoil back from the devil, and he wants to put the spoil back in your life. He wants to put it back in my life. He wants you to know that he'll raise you up. He'll nurture you and your seed, your offspring, his plan, his giftings in your life. And the devil will have to pay for it. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the woman took. Now, she had to do her part. Verse number 9. And the woman took the child and she nursed it. Now, can you imagine? So many times God's telling us to do the simplest thing. But we've got to take it and we've got to do it. He didn't work all of this out. She could have missed the step any part of the way, but she didn't. Amen. She kept on keeping on. And that's what you've got to do. Verse number 10. Here's what happens. This is the 12th thing that happens. And the child grew. Why? Because God had a plan. And he spoke that plan into Jochebed and Aram's life. And she raised up her kids. And her kids had a part in Moses becoming a deliverer. And the child grew. Glory. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. Now here's the key. This morning. You and I never have the full success of what God's calling us to do this morning. We'll never understand the nurturing in fullness until we recognize and realize what God has put in us. We carried it. And by his grace, we birthed it. By his grace, we nurtured it. But then we've got to take it to the enemy. It feels good in the four walls. It's safe in the church. But we've got to take the offspring that God has given us, and we've got to take it back to the enemy. She took Moses back to Pharaoh's daughter. Now, can you imagine what she had put everything into, but she knew that Moses had to be raised up out of Pharaoh's house to be able to deliver the children. But she had no worry, no doubt, because she knew what God had said. You train up a child when he or she, and when it's old, he or she won't depart from it. She knew that Moses was going to do what he was supposed to do. So she, when the time come, she let go. This morning, there's some things in our life that if we don't let go of, God can't take it where it needs to go. But if we'll let go of it, then it can be productive and do what God would have it to do. Amen? All right. And it came to pass in those days, verse 11, when Moses was grown, that he went out into his brethren. Now, I want you to see that. The thing that you have produced is going to go out. and it's going to go out into the brothers and sisters. Now, of course, we know that Moses then, he had to learn about timing. And we're not going to get into that this morning. We don't have time. He had to learn about timing, and he learned about that timing. And when he learned about it, God brought him up as a deliverer. Amen? But I want you real quickly go to Acts chapter 7. And let's look at the New Testament. See, God talks and fulfills everything of the old in the new. Acts chapter 7, let's start in verse number 17. Acts 7:17. It says, "But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with her kindred, and evil entreated her fathers, so that they cast out their young children to end that they might not live." Now notice this, verse number 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months, verse 21. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Now I want you to see this. I want you to don't let the natural stop what God wants to say to you this morning, okay? And I don't want to offend anybody, I don't want to hurt anybody, but I want you to see the power of this. Moses went into Pharaoh's house and was nourished, it says, by Pharaoh's daughter and raised up. That means that he was raised up and he understood everything about the operation of the Egyptians, which is the enemy of God. Now, if you'll stay with me, this is a good place to shout in just a second. See, the devil likes to take and play a movie before my eyes of all the things that I've done wrong in the world. But Zach, all of those things, as we were nourished up in the world, in the enemy's house, gives us understanding of how the enemy works. Gives us understanding how the body of Christ can go in to the enemy's house and be the deliverer. Moses couldn't deliver them from Egypt if he hadn't have been in Egypt. This morning, I can't deliver somebody from, and I'm not going to tell you, blah, 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 except my God delivered me from it. This morning, you know where God delivered you from. You know it beyond a doubt. You knew you couldn't get out yourself. You tried and you tried and you tried. I tried. But God brought us out to what? To bring others in. God brought us out. And so this morning, we're going to nurture in the middle of the nemesis. We're going to be in a place, in a position, a church of the living God who can what? Who can help people. We're going to be used by God to train people up, to bring them out of that place. Stay with me just a couple more. Verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom, see, of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and in deeds. So this is why it's so important. See, some of you can minister to some people that they wouldn't listen to me. They say, that preacher don't have a clue where I've been. He don't know, but you do. Mighty in words and deeds, because you can talk their language. Oh, man, you and I have been set up for success. The devil said that he had us. The devil said he was going to stop us. The devil said we was going to die in our sins. But God sent a Savior, and he used us now to send somebody the truth that will hear a word that they'll go, you know what I'm dealing with. You know where I'm at. You know what I'm feeling. And you're telling me that a God knows exactly. The Bible says that Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Oh, praise God. All right. Verse 23. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And this is where we cut off in the book of Exodus. But and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote. He killed the Egyptian.
Verse 25, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Now, I want to close with this thought. You've got to be in season with the Lord. I've got to be in season with the Lord. Moses, from the time he was born, he was destined to be a deliverer. But Moses had to be raised up 40 years in Pharaoh's house to understand all the working of the enemy. Then he had to go to the desert, and he had to be raised up 40 years as a shepherd. And 40 years he walked with God, and his father-in-law Jethro, and he was a shepherd. And one day he's walking along, you know the story, and he sees a bush. And the bush is on fire. He had a choice to make that day. He could have kept walking, but he chose to stop. And he went to see a bush that was on fire, yet the bush was not consumed. And he heard a voice. It said, Moses, Moses, pull off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. He had a choice. He pulled them off. Type of putting off self to be able to come into the plan and the will of God. And from that moment, he had completed his training, and now he was going to walk it out. This morning, you and I, we need to see that it's time for us to start walking out some of the things of God. I want you to take in consideration everything that's been said this morning, everything that's done, and see yourself as a trainer. The Holy Ghost says, you are a society shaper. You are a society shaper. Say it, decree it with me. I am a society shaper. I am a society shaper. I am a society shaper. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, just to continue what you started in Sunday school. Help us this morning to allow...